It's the way that God designed it. There are no shortcuts to good discipline. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Yeah, people wonder a lot about the new evangelization.
You're re-evangelizing the de-Christianized.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
The vast number of Catholics have been sacramentalized but not evangelized.
I'm talking about God, the devil, hell, heaven.
To be Catholic is to evangelize.
He's absolutely right.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, it's always a joy to be with you.
What is your quest?
Build the church, bless the nation.
We are go for launch.
10, 9.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Let's do this.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And a very good Monday to you. I'm Al Cresta, back for another week. What a great time last week in Omaha, and my thanks to all the people at Spirit Catholic Radio that made it such a successful week of talks and conversation and broadcast. It was a great job. Well, listen, let me tell you where we're heading today. We've got a few things in the news. Last night, a little flurry of controversy broke out when it was disclosed that Pope Francis had appointed Father Timothy Radcliffe, a well-known Dominican, to be a consultor for the Pontifical Commission on Justice and Peace. We know that Father Timothy Radcliffe's opinions on homosexuality seem quite outside the bounds of the church. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. But the question is, how do we respond? Basically, you have this. Pope Francis appoints a pro-gay marriage Dominican to the Pontifical Academy of Justice and Peace. What are we to think? How are we to respond? That's coming up in the second hour of today's program, so keep that in mind. Also today, we're going to talk with Raymond Ibrahim about the ongoing violence of ISIS. They have now taken Ramadi. That's a military victory for them. And we'll also talk about the Garland, Texas, Mohammed Mohammed cartoon controversy. And it was used, the murders down there were the same murders that were used to rationalize the Charlie Hebdo attacks. So we'll talk about that. Also, health insurance the Catholic way. Mike O'Day and Lewis Brown joining me. They've created a Catholic alternative to Obamacare. It doesn't force participants to violate their religious beliefs. And so we'll be taking a look at what they've done with CMF, or Christus Medicus Foundation, and Curo. That was launched last fall. They're back today to talk about how this is doing. We've been with them a number of times in the past. And also, an American rabbi has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for secretly taping women changing and showering at a local ritual bath. Now, I'm not going to spend time on the details of the crime, believe me. But it does raise fascinating questions. I'm glad they got him. I'm glad he's going to pay a price for this. But in a world of rampant pornography and immodesty, why is voyeurism considered so shocking and offensive? You know, I mean, strippers and porn stars are encouraging acts of voyeurism all the time through their acts of indignity. But I want to talk about that in just a little while, because I think a lot of people are confused about the public and the private use of the body. And I think we can get at that a little bit by looking at this crime, which I'm glad is a crime. I want to make sure that's clear. So all that's coming up on today's Cresta in the Afternoon, but there's also more. I want to talk about the death penalty for Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. They could not convince this great anti-death penalty attorney could not convince even one member of the jury to reject the death penalty. It's a surprise. I'm not that. I can take it either way, but I think there was a better way than the death penalty, and I'll tell you why a little bit later. Right now, we want to get to today's headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much, Al. Welcome, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, May 18th. It is the Feast of St. John the First, and today's news is sponsored in part by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. The first passenger lawsuits are being filed in Amtrak's deadly train derailment in Philadelphia. Four people are taking part in the suit, which cites serious and disabling injuries from the May 12th crash that killed eight people and injured more than 200 others. The lawsuit filed in federal court in Philadelphia today accuses Amtrak and train engineer Brandon Bostian of negligence and recklessness. It also asks for unspecified damages. Last week, an Amtrak worker who happened to be a passenger on the train filed a similar suit. The State Department is calling the fall of Ramadi a setback.
But there's also no denying that the United States will help the Iraqis take back Ramadi.
Spokesman Jeff Rathke said the fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria will be a long and difficult battle. The U.S.-led coalition has stepped up air attacks in ISIS units near Ramadi at the request of the Iraqi government. Pope Francis met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas on Saturday. The Holy See Press Office says that during the meeting, great satisfaction was expressed on the recent bilateral agreement on various essential aspects of the life and the activity of the Catholic Church in Palestine, that according to the Holy See Press Office. The Pope presented President Abbas with a copy of his apostolic exhortation on proclaiming the gospel, as well as a medallion of an angel of peace. The Associated Press reported that the Pope told Abbas, "You are an angel of peace." However, other news agencies reported that the Pope said, "May you be an angel of peace." And police in Waco, Texas are providing more information about yesterday's deadly shooting involving rival biker gangs.
We have 170 individuals that we have arrested. Those individuals are being charged with engaging in organized crime, which is a capital murder.
Police spokesman Sergeant Patrick Swanton says officers came under fire during the shootout at a sports bar and returned fire. He said exactly who shot whom is being investigated. Nine people died in the shootout and at least 18 others were injured. Swanton said law enforcement's quick response saved lives. And now your fascinating fact for the day. A 10-gallon cowboy hat only holds about 3/4 of a gallon of liquid. Got its name from the Spanish word galán, which means braid. Some Mexican cowboys wore as many as 10 braided bands on their sombreros. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Well, you know by now that Tsarnaev is going to be getting the death penalty. This is a bit of a surprise, not because the crime doesn't deserve the death penalty. I think you can make that case without without a whole lot of effort if you believe the death penalty is an effective way to deal with this. Then there's nothing unjust about applying the death penalty. I have to tell you, though, I don't think it's the best way of handling this for a variety of reasons. Wouldn't it have been better if he were forced to live a life in what prisons were supposed to be about, penance? Penitentiaries, they were called. They were called penitentiaries because it was where you went to do penance and to reflect upon your sins and grievance in your life and the grief that your victims may be feeling. It would also give them a chance for longer opportunity for conversion, which I think, if his life had been spared, may have been more likely, because in his own mind, he would have had to contrast his own Muslim way of the death penalty with a Christian way of leaving room for repentance and, when necessary, using the death penalty. But he would have been the victim, in some way, of mercy. It's kind of a contradiction in terms, a victim of mercy. I don't think that, and here's another reason I'm surprised by it, because Massachusetts is overwhelmingly against the death penalty. That's what makes this so strange. In fact, had this been a state crime instead of a federal crime, no doubt he would be going to prison for the rest of his life. By the way, the prison he would end up in is the same prison that they keep in norm for other terrorists like Ramzi Youssef from the first World Trade Center bombing. It's a prison where you spend 23 of the 24 hours a day in your cell. So this is pretty tough stuff we're talking about. The last executions in Massachusetts were back in 1947, and the state has since become increasingly uncomfortable with the death penalty. A Boston Globe poll that they took during the trial found that only 30% of the state's residents supported the death penalty. National polls are quite different, where a majority support the death penalty. But it's clear that soon after the bombings, the fate of Zokar was quickly politicized, right? How could it not be? He had members of Congress like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, wanting to treat him like an enemy combatant. It would have been a strange idea, because it would have meant trying a U.S. citizen in military courts without basic constitutional protections. And so what happened is the Department of Justice pushed to federalize the case and took it out of the hands of Massachusetts. And a key reason for that was that Massachusetts law doesn't permit the death penalty, but federal law does. And then Zarnaev's trial kicked off with a controversy, if you remember. In order to sit on the jury, you had to be, quote, death qualified. In other words, you had to be comfortable in imposing the death penalty. And only a minority of Massachusetts residents fit that qualification. So you had a quick shrinking of the jury pool. And you can guess that the resulting jury would be more biased in favor of capital punishment. You know, it's just natural the way that would work. And then you had the trial split into the guilt phase and the penalty phase. There was no disagreement about the guilt. In fact, the opening remarks, defense attorney Judy Clark just admitted on March 4th, there's little that we dispute. It was him. All right? So there was never any doubt about that. But the guilt portion of the trial, that proceeded over a month in spite of that admission. Then you had a two-week break. And then you had the penalty phase. And I thought the penalty phase would turn out with him getting life imprisonment. Again, my reason for preferring that is it seemed as though, based on Sister Helen Prejean's 5 conversations with him, it seemed as though there was an opening for authentic repentance. And I thought, if so, perhaps there'd be the opportunity for authentic conversion. That would not have reduced his penalty down the road. This guy was never coming out of prison. So I thought that would be better. But, you know, the jury, from what I'm reading in the papers, the jury didn't find her testimony that compelling. I'm trying to think the exact phrase that he used. They just didn't find the phrase that he used, though. Here, where is it? He said something like, nobody should die the way those people died. And while that seems on the face of it to be an expression of remorse, some of the jurors didn't really think so. In fact, only 2 of the jurors thought he was remorseful. So who can say? I think you could go either way on this one. I think the best thing would have been to let him live out his life in that prison where he could be ministered to over a longer period of time. He could grow up a little bit. And maybe he would begin contrasting Islamic law and Sharia and the various Islamic schools of jurisprudence and compare those with the United States, which clearly has a more Christian orientation to it. But apparently that's not going to happen. We had a strange thing. Strange thing happened. A rabbi just got 6 years because he stuck cameras in a ritual bath, and then he proceeded to watch the females there disrobe. And it's a sick story. I don't want to talk about the story as much as I want to talk about the principle here. He was convicted of voyeurism, right? And I'm sure a host of other crimes. But we're really talking about what we call voyeurism. And yes, it is a violation of a woman, or of a man, I suppose. You know, it is clearly a violation. I'm glad it's a law. I'm glad we got it's a crime. But in an age, there's something ironic about it. Because in an age where naked women abound, why is this still considered such an invasion that he got over 6 years for it? I mean, it's not that we can't see every body part in every position anywhere we want. We can. Well, it's because it's not about body parts. It's not about nudity. It's about human dignity. And what is dignified in private may not be dignified in public. In other words, what acts as human dignity in private may not be human dignity in public. So, but here's funny. What's funny? If it's so undignified, so against human dignity to commit an act of voyeurism, isn't it equally undignified and against human dignity to encourage acts of voyeurism by exhibiting oneself in public like pole dancers and stripteasers and underdressed men and women and porn stars? Aren't those also equally acts of violating human dignity? They encourage voyeurism. If it's just the woman's consent that makes voyeurism so wrong, and not something about the proper use of the body, then voyeurism doesn't seem like much of a crime. I mean, Amish children don't want to be photographed against their will. Nobody gets charged with voyeurism for doing that. In the 17th century, an exposed ankle was enough for a Puritan preacher to complain about it's a distraction in preaching, he said. And we've got bikinis acceptable on beaches, but watching someone in their underwear is considered more a violation of privacy. And yet bikinis reveal more skin than a lot of undergarments. I think it's because all peoples have a standard of what is modesty in public and intimacy in private. Think about this. Even tribes that wear little clothing cover something that counts as private, and they try to maintain a sacred aura around the most intimate parts of the human bodies, they understand it. I mean, a doctor may touch a woman where only a husband is permitted because of this difference, right? Private touching is quite different than public examining. And so this public-private distinction is critical. You often hear people say, well, it's all relative, it's all relative. Ankles are titillating in 17th century New England, and nude beaches are titillating here or there. Look, this public-private distinction, though, if you think about it, is what keeps this argument from drifting into relativism. Where private exposure is expected, it is a transgression to take advantage of it for public viewing. That's true everywhere.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
The grass is always greener when you know how to take care of it. Jack here, neighborhood yard master. Honorary title, but I've been to Weingarts enough to know that outdoor power equipment is not one size fits all. Why settle for a store that has power equipment between paint and plumbing? When you need a mower, tractor, generator, or chainsaw, go to Weingarts. You can count on them to sort through their huge selection and find the equipment that works for you. Same goes for parts, maintenance, and repairs. They'll keep you running for years to come.
At Weingarts.
From the size of your lawn to the size of your wallet, at Weingarts you get the right equipment for your job. For seasonal specials and tips you can trust, visit them in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor, or online at Weingarts.com. Better selection, better savings, honest answers.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com. Crest in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunhagarmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500. Or on the web at mspccpa.com.
Have a First Communion or a confirmation coming up in your family or circle of friends? Our Lady of Grace bookstore has a beautiful selection of gifts to help them celebrate these special sacraments and strengthen their life in Christ. And don't forget the graduates on your list. Choose from inspirational books, videos, jewelry, and a new selection of contemporary Christian music CDs. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14, inside Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
And a good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. You know, a lot of Catholics with the coming of Obamacare began thinking seriously about alternatives. One of the most difficult things to watch was the dispute between the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Obama administration. For years, for decades, the conference, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, or their equivalents, had been supportive of some kind of universal health care. And yet, here what should have been a victory for them was turning into a problem. Why? Because President Obama couldn't see his way clear to not exclude abortion. So the Catholic bishops had to stay away. Now, this gave a lot of Catholics a lot of pause. And what could be done as a Catholic alternative to Obamacare that doesn't force people to violate their deeply held religious convictions? Well, there is an option here. It's called CMF Curo. It was launched last fall, and my friends are back to talk about it today. I've got with me Mike O'Day, who is the executive director of the Christus Medicus Foundation, which you can learn more about at christmedicus.org, as well as CMF Curo, CURO.com. And also with me is Lewis Brown, a Catholic attorney who works with the firm of Fraser, Treblecock, Davis, and Dunlap. He's a graduate of Howard University School of Law and has worked for the Maryland Catholic Conference in the U.S. House. He has been featured in the National Catholic Register and currently resides in Detroit. Where in Detroit?
Well, actually, I'm in Troy.
Oh, you're in Troy now.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So you're north of the city.
That's right. Yeah. And just to be clear, had happily been at the law firm, but when given this opportunity, I came on to be the director of CMF Curo full-time.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Back in September. So
thanks for clearing that.
We're just happy to work for Mike O'Day.
Yeah,
good. And we're excited to have.
Well, Mike, we've talked about this
for years and years and years. I don't know exactly when, but I bet you it was late 80s, early 90s anyways.
It was.
And you really championed it. I was fascinated by it, but you really ran with it and went through all kinds of obstacles long before there was Obamacare, because you had Hillary Care that was coming up in the early 90s, and you were noticing. Tell us just a kind of a personal testimony here. How did you realize that this health insurance issue was a threat to a Catholic way of life?
Now, that's a very good question, and you could appreciate this because it came from my days when I was very active at Mother and Unborn Baby Care,
mm-hmm, right,
and was counseling. I mean, back in that day in the late 80s, I used to spend a lot of time counseling young ladies, and it was one of the greatest rewards I ever had to see this, you know, girl change from going to have an abortion on Saturday and then wind up having her baby.
Amazing.
But I was counseling a teenager and her mom, and I happened to ask, you know, do you need any money? Because if that's the reason you're going to abort the baby, you know, we'll do everything we can for you. And the mother said, no, we're fine. And I said, well, is it health insurance? Do you need some help with health insurance? And she said to me, no, whether my daughter has the baby or aborts the baby, my Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Blue Care Network will pay for it. Well, that was my insurance at the time. This was 1987. I'll never forget the day.
Wow.
And that was one of those moments. And everything that's happened to me in this effort, Al, has really come from the Holy Spirit. I mean, did I follow him all the time? No, I'm sure I didn't. But obviously, the hound of heaven never left me alone.
Well, that was a moment of illumination, huh?
Oh, it was.
Kind of an epiphany.
It absolutely yeah. was. And I came home that day and told Peg, I says, I got to do something. And she says, well, whenever you thought you had to do something, you always went and did it before. What's to stop you now? And that got me looking at the health insurance industry. So that's where it all began.
Wow.
And it just grew from one thing to the other. But I saw it coming because of that. Because the private market is really responsible for Obamacare. I don't care what anybody says.
Tell me how.
Well, because they were already engaged in subsidizing abortion.
Right.
And then anything came along.
The National Organization for Women had a very strong policy.
They did. And yeah. I was at a meeting with their administrator at the time. And I saw the administrator gave me what was in their plan. And I said to myself, that would have been, in, I think it was around 1990.
Okay.
And I saw that plan. And it had abortion, it had contraception, it had sterilization, and it had, you know, didn't matter what sex you were, didn't matter what, but you would have an opportunity to have this coverage. So when I saw that, I says, you know, if we don't develop one of our own,
yeah.
we're going to be in big trouble.
This is going to turn out to be a model or at least
that's
a precedent.
Right. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But it took from 1990 till then.
Yeah.
And as you know, I was out speaking to bishops and, you know, a number of leaders. And everybody kind of looked, well, come on, Mike, it's just not that bad. But the reality of it was.
You know, I remember I agreed with you that it was that bad. I didn't know if you could do anything that big.
Well, that's what everybody... Well, now, that's a good comment. Well, you know, as I'm going along, I said, Lord, I don't know what's ever going to happen here. But it got to a point, especially after Obamacare, that I said to myself, well, I got to keep fighting, but this isn't going to happen in my lifetime. I'm not going to see an alternative. And then, through the grace of God and our evangelical brothers and sisters, we have been able to find an alternative.
Tell me about that.
Well, this alternative happened too. Again, I was very involved, as my partner was, David Wilson, in developing the Healthcare Conscience Rights Bill, which we have today, which was reintroduced, and we're back pushing to get it voted on.
Good.
That's H.R. 940. But it was through the process of...
Is Jeff Fortenberry involved with that?
Jeff Fortenberry still is. But now we have, Diane Fleming, I think.
Yeah, Congresswoman Fleming.
Yeah. But at these meetings through the years, I initially got very close to the healthcare sharing ministry, the individual that was doing the lobbying. And I eventually introduced him to David. And I said, David, we've got to meet with these people. They've got a marvelous idea.
Yeah.
And we Catholics didn't do it. Now we can't even do it if we want. But maybe there's a way that we can, you know, find...
You can't do it even if you wanted now because they have, you have to have created some alternative prior.
Yeah, I think it's prior to 1994.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Yeah. The way that the exemption and the statute, in the Affordable Care Act, there's an exemption that says healthcare, if you're a member of a healthcare sharing ministry, you're not required to comply with the requirements of the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act. But it says... This exemption only applies to members of a ministry in existence before December 31st, 1999.
Okay.
Obviously, there are no Catholic healthcare sharing ministries,
right.
And that's why Mike and really and truly in God's providence decided, you know, we need to partner up with one of the existing ministries.
So David and I, it's probably 5 years ago now that we began our discussions. I said, David, come on, you got to go out to Samaritan with me, and we got to talk to these people because I can't do this.
Right.
I can't do it alone for sure, but I might be able to help. And David has the resources and the technology to pull everything together. And I said, David, you're the one that's going to have to do this. I can just kind of... David always kids about I'm carrying his... Or he's carrying my bag. This time I'm carrying his. Because I said, all I'll do is I'll just, you know, help lead you around to where we're going, but you got to get this done. And David has just done an absolutely marvelous job pulling this together. And we know we got something that is not just, you know, an exemption from the Affordable Care Act, the HHS mandate, and the individual mandate, but it's truly a more economical, wonderful program where people come together in prayer and they pray for one another, and we don't have all that money going to all the third parties' insurance. They go directly to pay somebody's medical needs, and members pay them.
So this, the way this insurance is done, it's very aware, or those who participate are very aware that they are serving one another.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll let our director.
Yeah, Lewis,
I mean, he
Lewis.
Really has learned this and has done a tremendous job promoting it. So you got to hear.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it is that on some level, we have been looking as Catholics for an alternative in the last few years because of what the Affordable Care Act did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a beauty. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than just an opportunity for Catholics out there to protect their conscience or an opportunity for Catholics to have pro-life health care. And it's not insurance. What it is, and if you read in Acts, I was reading this just last week. If you read in Acts, the early church, the early Christians, when they came together with the apostles, they had everything in common. They shared everything in common.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of healthcare sharing and CMF Cure and Samaritan Ministries International and healthcare sharing generally. So much of the new evangelization, and this is something that David and Mike have talked about and I've learned as well, so much of the new evangelization is saying that how do we proclaim the gospel? We have to engage in an act of charity. We have to love ourselves, love our Lord first, and love each other. We have to engage in an act of solidarity where we are really accompanying each other. Pope Francis
right.
talks about that. Pope Benedict, that I've heard Bishop Burns talk about this, this notion of accompaniment. We have to walk with each other. And we have to also engage in this act of community. And so that's the beauty of healthcare sharing. It's not insurance, but month to month, members of healthcare sharing ministries, Christians across the country, come together and directly share each other's medical needs. And so instead of paying an insurance premium payment every single month, members of CMF Curo send a check to another member of the ministry that's called a share payment and directly pays for that member's needs in full over time. And it's just a beautiful way, it's a beautiful alternative where Christians can really come together in healthcare, live intentionally in healthcare, and bear each other's burdens and share each other's needs as the early Christians did.
Now that, how is that organized? In other words, do people have a monthly donation or whatever you call it, contribution that they make?
That's right.
And does that go to a central bank, so to speak?
Not really. The central premise, and this is the beauty, especially the way that Samaritan has done it, is that it's direct sharing. So let's say there's the Smith family that lives in Southfield, Michigan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Month to month, the Smith family will send a check. It'll be the same amount every month.
Okay.
And, you know, the month of May, they'll send it to the Tui family in Texas, okay. Where my goddaughter lives. And the next month they'll send it to the Demchek family in New York, and the next month they'll send it to the Brown family in California. It's the same amount every month. The only thing that changes is the family that you send the share payment to.
All right.
And that money goes to help that family and to pay directly for that family's medical need. And you send a prayer letter with them to say, hey, I am sending you my own money to pay for your medical cost, and I'm praying for you as well. It's a beautiful experience.
Mom, hold it there. I want to come back and go into a little bit more, because I think this is different than what most people have conceived of as even possible. So it's fascinating. I'm Al Cresta, and talking here with Mike O'Day and Lewis Brown about a new form of health coverage.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All musicians are invited to the Christian Songwriting Workshop and Forum Saturday, May 30th at Grounded in Grace Coffee House in Jonesville. 14-time Dove Award winner Joel Lindsay will be leading the workshop and will provide one song critique per attendee. To register, call 517-368-5421. Don't miss St. Elizabeth's International Festival and fundraiser May 31st on the church grounds in Detroit. Enjoy a parade of nations, exotic culinary treats, face painting, and more. Adult admission is $10, children's is $5. For further details, call 313-330-0263. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationship with our Lord, our relationship with the church, the precepts of the church, our relationship with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father John Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective, on Christ is the Answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
The faculty and staff of Father Gabriel Richard High School extends their congratulations to the class of 2015. It was an honor and privilege to serve you, teach you, and to learn from you. As you move on, remember these words of Pope Francis. Put on Christ in your life, and you will find a friend in whom you can always trust. Put on Christ, and you will see the wings of hope spreading and letting you journey with joy towards the future.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Our Declaration of Independence proclaims that we hold certain truths to be self-evident. That we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In every person, the God-given desire for peace is an essential aspiration which coincides with the desires for liberty and happiness. In other words, man is made for peace, which is God's gift. And peace is only attainable if we, as our national motto famously proclaims, place our trust in God, because peace presupposes a human existence that is open to transcendence. Today, secular progressives who are in positions of power are imposing laws that are contrary to the natural moral law. Consequently, these laws are guaranteed to deprive humankind and thus society of the peace that we desire. As Pope Benedict XVI warned, the precondition for peace is the dismantling of the dictatorship of relativism, which precludes acknowledgement of the natural law inscribed by God upon the conscience of every man and woman. Indeed, peace is obtained by building up of a society based on rational and moral terms, a foundation whose measure is not created by man, but rather by God. In short, until we acknowledge God as the supreme lawgiver, we will not find true and lasting peace as a nation. I'm Robert Hughes, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website, liking us on Facebook, and following us on Twitter.
And a good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Mike O'Day, Executive Director of the Christus Medicus Foundation, and Lewis Brown, who is working with the Christus Medicus and CMF Curo organization. What is exactly the difference between Christus Medicus and Curo?
Well, first, I have to remind people, it's now Christ Medicus.
Okay, you dropped the Latin.
Well, we had to, and there's a long story. I don't want to go in how that happened. But Christ Medicus is the foundation that was primarily set up to do three things. Number one, it was to protect Catholic health care through public policy. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that's why we got the Health Care Conscience Rights Act, H.R. 940. Mm-hmm. I want to keep talking about that because everybody's got to call their legislators and tell these guys to vote on this legislation. That's H.R. 940. Mm-hmm. And the next purpose of it was to develop a Catholic health plan, a plan, not just Catholic, but faithful, where people could have a conscientious choice selection of their health. And that goes right back to the beginning in 1999 when Christ Medicus was put together. And then the third, and you're familiar with this, was to establish a nationwide network of Catholic medical centers that were authentically Catholic, like Emmaus Health.
Yeah, here in Auburn,
and, you know, my associate David Wilson and I are being called in as advisors and helping to develop these across the country now.
Great.
So we're really excited about it. It is working. I see, you know, the light clearly, and it's shining brightly.
This is the vocation of the laity, though.
Absolutely.
This is such an excellent example of what the Second Vatican Council described, prescribed, and even prophesied, that the laity would become, that this is going to be the great change in Catholic ministry, is the co-responsibility of the laity for the Church, and this is what it is.
And I got to make one other comment, and this is about Cardinal Burke and Bishop Boyer. I mean, they both have reinforced and affirmed the work. I mean, I heard Cardinal Burke talk at a Catholic Medical Association conference last year, and he just told all the physicians at the Catholic Medical Association, this is what the new evangelization is about.
Yeah.
You just have to go, and we have to create a whole new way of providing Catholic health care.
Yeah.
So that's why he now has, you know, actually given us a letter of endorsement.
Good.
He is Episcopal advisor, as well as Bishop Boyer. And I'm going to let, again, Lewis tell you a little more about Bishop Boyer and what you're doing in Lansing with Bishop Boyer.
Right, yeah, and we're just, you know, as Mike stated, we're so excited that Cardinal Burke, you know, from Rome, and Bishop Boyer in Lansing have agreed to be Episcopal advisors and to really support our efforts and our ministry. And, you know, we're going to be reaching out to different parishes, specifically in the Diocese of Lansing, meeting with pastors, trying to get the word out, spread the word out, amongst the Diocese of Lansing, that this is a outstanding healthcare option, especially for individuals that have their own business, that are self-employed, they're independent contractors, they're looking for a health insurance option, they're looking for something that's affordable, they're looking for something that's authentically Catholic. And so we're really excited to be doing that in Lansing. It's kind of a test case to see, you know, how do we reach the diocese, how do we engage different parishes, and we're excited to be able to do that as well.
Now, we began talking about how the resources are distributed.
Sure.
So one family pays a certain amount of money every month.
Right.
But it goes directly to one family or another.
Right, okay? That's right.
And then how is that organized?
Right, so we work with Samaritan Ministries International. They have a wonderful process by which they essentially signpost the family. So there's over 35,000 families across the country that are members of Samaritan Ministries International. And they are all, every single month, each family is sending a share payment to another family in need. And so if I am the Smith family that lives in Troy and I have a $2,000 or a $3,000 or a $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 health care bill, I will get dozens or hundreds of checks from families across the country that are paying for my health care need, my medical need, in full, and I use those checks to pay the bill.
Oh.
And so it's literally just sharing your checks. And the beauty of what David and Mike have done as well is they've added a lot of efficiency and technology to that, so that for members of CMF Curo, instead of receiving those checks in the mail, they'll have a membership debit card. Those checks will go to a bank that's connected to all of our members' membership debit cards, and our members will be able to pay for their healthcare needs directly through their membership debit card. And so we've taken this wonderful process, this wonderful Christian process of healthcare sharing, and David and Mike, along with a wonderful team, have added additional efficiencies and technologies that kind of bring it up to 2015 and make it very attractive, I think, to a lot of Catholic families.
Wow. And to reinforce this card idea, everybody has to have a card today. If you don't have a card, you don't have enough care protected. So, and David, in his technology and his know-how in the industry, he was able to pull this together. So now all the payments for CMF Curo members that have the big bills that have to be paid, they will have their card, and all those bills to the providers will be paid through this card. Yeah. So they're not going to get 20, 30 checks.
Yeah.
Samaritan's still doing it the same way they did in the past. But I envision someday when they see just how beautiful this is and how much more family-friendly it is that they probably will take that approach to.
Yeah, sure. Lewis, how'd you get involved in this? I don't imagine you came out of Howard University saying, this is what I'm going to do.
No. The fairly short version of that story is, I went to law. I'm a Michigan State grad, and go Spartans.
Hey,
and
yes, me too.
Yeah, go Spartans.
That's
too.
Right.
I got a son to grad.
That's right. So, and it's wonderful that we get to, we got a wonderful Catholic football head coach there too. So, but no, went to Michigan State. Actually worked for Senator Carl Levin for a year, who it was a wonderful experience doing that, and was pretty. I think politically liberal, was pro-life.
I think he was a Democrat. I think that's what you.
I was a Democrat and at the time and was pretty politically liberal. Was still pro-life. Went to Howard Law School, which is based in D.C. to really be a civil rights attorney, and worked for in law practice for 2 years in Detroit and Lansing, and then had a wonderful opportunity back in 2009 to go work for a political party committee. A national political party committee in Washington, D.C. And I went there to kind of, in hopes of really hoping that I could transform this political party committee and make it a little bit more pro-life.
Yeah.
And what wound up happening was the Affordable Care Act, what became the Affordable Care Act, was going through the United States House at the time. It passed the House in the fall. With the STUPAC language, which was essentially the Hyde Amendment that said no public funding of abortion.
Right.
It got over to the Senate. I got an assignment at this political party committee saying, do the legal work behind doing what's called a robocall, where a machine essentially calls thousands of people. And that legal work to do that robocall would have called thousands of folks in a state that was represented by a U.S. senator who was holding out on the Affordable Care Act, in part because of the abortion language, the pro-life language that would have been in that health care bill. And I knew why I was given this assignment. It wasn't explicit, but I knew that he was, this U.S. senator was in this particular state was holding out on this language, in part because of his pro-life views. I didn't want to support that. I didn't want to enable the pressure to cause him to cave. And, it wound up, I saw my spiritual director. He told me that it's the eve of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and went to the crypt in Georgetown University for Mass that evening. And the Jesuit priest, believe it or not, was preaching a wonderful homily on Isaiah and the importance of having courage. And it just seemed that was the confirmation I needed, that this isn't something crazy in my head, that I really do need to quit. I can't continue to do this. I can't enable this. So I quit the next day and kind of have gone from there to work for the Maryland Catholic Conference and work for a wonderful pro-life congressman from California, and then did some additional law practice, but in God's providence got connected with Mike and David, and just been a beauty to a real gift to work for them in the Christ Medicus Foundation.
It's amazing to hear testimonies like that, where there's a crisis of conscience.
Right.
It becomes a turn in the road.
Right.
It just is amazing how that happens.
Holy Spirit's looking for all those opportunities.
Right. Yeah. And the thing was, it was just so obvious. It wasn't some act of courage on my part. It's just when the Lord is just staring you in the face saying, like, you got to do this. Like, it's pretty easy at that point.
I want to just share something real quickly when he's talking about his spiritual director. I go back to Father Hardin, and this would have been in 1990, and I'm struggling to try to keep this going. And I said, I went to Father Hardin for some advice. And I says, what do I do? I says, I got seven children. I'm struggling to pay the bills.
Right.
I just found out I don't have any money left. But yet I really believe that I should be doing this work in healthcare. Well, he didn't really give me the answer I want. He says, well, Mike, he said, what you got to do is you just got to go find another way to make money. But you can't stop this work in healthcare. And then I knew that somehow I had to figure that out. And once again, being faithful, the Holy Spirit, you know, helped me go back and get some money and stick with it. And here I am today still doing the same thing. I mean, God has really provided.
That's great.
Al, could I add just one last thing?
Please.
This is something that just to the listeners out there that I just want to say, I think as rough as things are getting right now with, you know, the gay marriage agenda and the attack on traditional marriage, and also if you look at what's going on in D.C., with all these attacks on religious freedom and health care and the extension of the the pro-abortion agenda, there is a renaissance, there is a new Pentecost going on throughout the American church, if you look at priests, if you look at lay ministries.
Absolutely.
And what the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit is calling all of us to do in our workplaces, in business, in, you know, in the seminaries all over is, and especially to the laity, is to do the types of things that Mike and David has done, which is find...
And now Lewis is doing. Not just Mike and David.
Well, right, but just find these new creative ways for us to preach the gospel, because that's really what CMF Curo is about, is finding a new way to do the evangelization. It's ever old, and this is an example. This notion of Christians coming into voluntary community and sharing each other's burdens, bearing each other's needs, that's not a new concept.
Nope.
It's 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
But we're finding a new way to apply it. And that's what all those that are teachers, all those that are in healthcare, all those that are in business, in the automotive industry, whatever it is, they need to find new ways to preach the gospel. And that's what our Lord is calling us to do right now.
Very good. We want to talk about H.R. 940.
Yes.
Yeah. So why don't you... Bring us up to date.
Well, you know,
we've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how many co-sponsors there are now, but I've been working recently with Richard Dorflinger and Dr. Steve White from the CMA, and we brought together a number of other Catholic, not just Catholic organizations, but organizations that are faith-based, that are in the healthcare industry together, and just produced a letter to Boehner. To vote on the legislation, and we hope to broaden that support. We hope to get more support even from the bishops to get right down to the people in the pew, which we've never been able to do. We got to get the message to people in the pew, because why I've been told they're not voting on the legislation. A lot of people disagree with me, but is we just don't have enough grassroots saying, I want my conscience protected.
Yeah.
But the American people don't know. Catholic people do not know that their conscience has been violated.
Set it up. You got a minute. How has it been violated?
Oh, with a healthcare conscience? Yeah. Well, a prime example is what's done in healthcare, forcing physicians to participate in abortion, contraception, sterilization. Now making every single American participate in this health plan. I mean, it's not a matter of choice. They're forced to do it.
Yeah.
So we've got to protect our... I mean, this is just the beginning of taking away our conscience. But look where it's now. It's, you know, with the marriage. I mean, we saw it happening in healthcare long time ago, years ago, as early as 1990, which we were talking previously in our conversation. So if we don't take care of healthcare, you know, I've always said, so goes healthcare, so goes our culture.
Yeah. Give us the... address so people can look at the work you're doing?
CMFCuro.com, ChristMedicus.org, and if anybody wants to call me just to talk about this, I'm open for phone calls. I want to learn, too, what people are saying, and that's 248-980-8456. 248-980-8456.
Crest in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria mutual funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize.
A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Manresa Jesuit Retreat House in Bloomfield Hills wants to welcome you to the Master's Garden Saturday, May 30th. The Master's Garden offers a day to learn eco-friendly gardening tips, stroll their 39 acres, tour the house, and enjoy their speakers. There'll be entertainment, raffles, and experts available throughout the day to answer your gardening questions. For tickets and info, look for the Master's Garden on their homepage at manresasj.org.
Everyone loves Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and Snoopy. You'll have a chance to enjoy a local musical production of the Broadway show based on the characters created by Charles Schulz. Join the Peanuts gang as they declare, "You're a good man, Charlie Brown," to discovering what really brings them happiness. It's guaranteed to please audiences of all ages. Explorers Homeschool Theater Troupe will perform it at Riverside Arts Theater in Ypsilanti May 29th and 30th. To learn more and to buy tickets, go to riversidearts.org/theater.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day of CMF Curo. The bill, you want people to call their congressman about the H.R. 940.
That's correct. Okay. That's right now, just get the map, call your U.S. House representative. And we need them here in Michigan. I know Lewis has mentioned Congressman Upton. He needs to be contacted and to co-sponsor and provide leadership on the bill. But we need everybody that's listening to get on the phone and call and say, not just sponsor this bill, but vote for the bill.
Sure.
Get on the co-sponsor list and vote for the bill. And if
now, they want to pursue the bill. Do you have information at your website?
Yes, it's on my website.
Okay. So that's,
and we'll always have more. We continue to update it.
Okay. So the two websites, cmfcuro.com.
Yeah, cmfcuro.com. That's for the healthcare sharing program.
Okay.
Christ Medicus Foundation will have information on the conscience legislation, okay, as well as it can help you with CMF Curo 2.
Okay. So Christ Medicus.
ChristMedicus.org.
Right. And if people want additional background, too, the U.S. Bishops Conference has been pushing this legislation as well, and so they can go to
the U.S. So now the Catholic Medical Association is, too.
Okay.
So there's all different type of support for it. Now, we just need more momentum.
We need their help. We need your listeners' help.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much. Mike,
thank you,
Lewis,
Alan. God bless you.
Be with you.
Yes.
We'll talk again.
God bless you.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
He left his home, the bones of his ancestors, and the false gods of his fathers to follow the God of glory. Excruciating trials, weary miles of desert travel, and even God's command to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice did not deter him. Mount your camels and ride back in time to discover Abraham, the only man called the friend of God. Order the latest Footprints of God video featuring Steve Ray from Ignatius Press at 800-651-1531, ignatius.com, or your Catholic bookstore.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To announce the second annual Mary's Mantle Golf Tournament on June 20th at the St. John Center at 5 Mile near Sheldon in Plymouth. To register, call 248-250-9216. That's 248-250-9216 or at